Never in a million years thought Jed Lowry would end up with the New York Mets. 2-year, $20 million contract. So with the Mets now having all sorts of questions, I figured we bring this gentleman out of hibernation as he is like counting down the days until Port St. Lucie. And we are going to have to arrange a day where me and Mr. Ehalt are grabbing some beverages. Matty Ehalt of the record. Matt, how are you, my friend? What is happening, bro?
I'm doing well, JJ. I've come out of hibernation, as you said. You know, got a nice little slumber in there. But unfortunately, Brody doesn't let you sleep for too long.
No, and that's a good thing because I like what the Mets have done all in all in this offseason. And let's start here with Lowry. Did you ever see this coming? I mean, I look around baseball. You know, I read the rumor mill. I like to see what's going on. There was not one rumor I saw, Matt, that was linking Jed Lowry to the Mets until I'm at the grocery store today. I go on Twitter while I'm waiting online, and I see Passan's tweet basically breaking the story. Did you hear any inkling that the Mets could be in on Jed Lowry?
No. I had heard, obviously, they were in the market for an infielder. Some of the names had heard were along the lines of, you know, they had checked in, obviously, on Asdrubal Cabrera, Freddy Galvis, Alcides Escobar. Those were some of the names. And you know, the Mets had money to spend here. The thing was, to be honest, I think I and most people were kind of under the assumption they would spread it out. That, like, let's say if they had, now we don't know the specifics on the Lowry deal, but let's say they had $10 million, they might do it like 3 to a reliever, 3 to a starter, 4 to a backup infielder. Depending on what comes next, this could be that they basically decide to spend it all on Lowry here. You know, they get the guy who can play multiple positions throughout the infield. But no, I mean, this is surprising. I did not see them investing this type of money into another infielder, considering what they already have.
And Maddie, let's be honest, going into opening day next year, this guy's going to be the second or third best hitter in the lineup. I mean, he's raked the last 2 years. He's a gamer. He's a guy you want up with the game on the line. And I think it's a fair bet you're bringing him in for 2 years at $20 million. This guy's playing every day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Mets' plan for him is for him to play pretty much every day. They envision him at the top of the order. I would bet right now he's probably going to be your number two hitter on opening day. No, this is a guy who's going to play here. And, you know, the one thing that Brody has talked a lot about this offseason, and to be fair, he hadn't done a great job with it until this move. He talked a lot about eliminating the ifs on the roster. They didn't want to be so reliant on, well, we need this guy to do this, we need this guy to do that. With Lowry in the mix, it really gives them some possibility, or it gives them a lot of insurance against, well, let's say Frazier doesn't have a good year. Let's say McNeil doesn't hit like he does. Let's say Alonso doesn't get off to a fast start. They bought themselves some nice insurance here, which, to be fair, you know, that's what good teams have to do. You know, if you're a team like the Mets, you can't go into the season basically hoping that, you know, Frazier, McNeil, and Alonso are all going to have this great year for you.
Okay, Matt, so what does this mean now? When you think about third, when you think about second, when you think about first, Cano is going to be the second baseman, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so Cano's at second. Lowry, most likely your opening day third baseman?
I believe so. Here's my early assumption on, you know, January 11th is Peter Alonso will be held in the minors to start the year, the whole, you know, service manipulation stuff. And then my guess right now would be you're going to have Todd Frazier at first base and you're going to have him at Jed Lowry at third base to start the year, because Lowry doesn't play, to be fair, Lowry does not really play first base. So that would just be, if you're just asking my guess, that is my guess.
Matty, could you see a scenario, though, where Brody Van Wagenen looks to deal either Jeff McNeil or Todd Frazier before the start of the season?
McNeil, no. I could see a scenario where he deals Todd Frazier, but the only thing there, I think, is if you look at it, kind of trading Frazier negates, but it kind of, you're back at square one then, because in a sense, you know, Brody talked, you know, like I said, he's talked about doing this move to eliminate the ifs on the roster. Well, if you trade Frazier, you're back to basically, well, if Lowry struggles, then you need McNeil and Alonzo. Like, I think if you're a good team, you should be able to afford an expensive bench piece, even if it is Frazier. And again, you know, there is a lot of reason to think that Peter Alonzo can be, you know, a very good contributor to the Mets this year. But, again, it doesn't hurt to have backup just in case to make sure that, hey, if and also to kind of take the pressure off him that it's not a situation where he has to come in and from day one has to be, you know, the this, you know, slugger.
My good pal, Met correspondent Matt Ehalt from The Record, Jed Lowry on his way to Queens, two-year, $20 million contract. Matty, I like what Brody Van Wagenen has done over these last few weeks as far as rounding out the roster. How many times have we seen guys over the last couple of years who have no business being in the big leagues and they're getting legitimate burn on this Met team? Like, I know a name like Hector Santiago. Not going to excite a whole lot of people. But you know what, Matt? He started games. If he is going to come up and start for a couple of weeks, if something happens, let's say to Steven Matz, like it does every single year, that's okay. That's a solid guy to go to. I think about, you know, the way this bullpen is being constructed. You bring in a guy like Broxton who's got some upside. Do you like the fact now that this front office has definitely made it a priority to make this far more of a well-rounded roster?
Yeah, no, you know, Brody has done a nice job in that regard. Although the one thing that stands out a little bit, at least to me, is when you look at it, it does seem perhaps they could have, and again, this goes into the Mets' finances, but you could make the case, well, why did you have to give up six prospects to get Broxton and, you know, J.D. Davis when you could probably sign guys, veterans, to fill those roles? So that's a little aspect of it. I mean, the Mets have done a nice job, and like you said, I mean, this move really shores up the bench, which is a big thing, like you said, that they've had an issue with in years past. I think the thing that you always go back to with the Mets is you look at the offseason as a whole and you're going to left wondering, could they do more in the sense of, you know, like right now, I think a good case can be made they need a center fielder. All indications at the moment are they're going to roll with Lagares and Keon Broxton, which, you know, I would say they probably should be trying to upgrade there. I don't think that gives you enough offensively. You know, so it's an interesting offseason. But certainly, I mean, when you look at everything in a vacuum, they are a better team today than they were at the start of the offseason. But, you know, certainly there will be questions at the end about the prospects they gave up and some of these moves that they've made.
Matty, I had this conversation with a good buddy of mine, Sal Licata, over at SNY, and we were discussing, would it have been better off if the Mets, instead of giving Lowry 2 years and $20 million, were a bigger player for Andrew Miller, were a bigger player for David Robertson? I don't see it that way myself. I think this Met bullpen has vastly improved. I felt like their lineup needed the improvement a heck of a lot more. So I would have prioritized a guy like Lowry. Even though I never thought it was on the Mets' radar, I'm fine with the Mets choosing, let's say, Lowry over D-Rob, over an Andrew Miller. So I'm going to ask you that exact question. If you could have spent that money 2 years, basically 20, 22, 23, do you like Lowry over one of those two relievers?
That's a great question. I had not thought of it. Personally, I would have invested in the relievers because I do not think at the moment the Mets bullpen is strong enough. I like the back end combo, but I think beyond that, you know, Lugo is a good seventh inning option, but we have seen at times that they have had to use him, you know, in the rotation there. And then when you look at it beyond that, the Mets kind of lack depth in the bullpen. I don't think the bullpen is as strong as it needs to be right now. I don't think it's a championship caliber bullpen. So I might have gone there because I think there are enough guys, perhaps some utility guys, maybe that you could have gotten on the cheap, you know, maybe who knows? I mean, you saw today Brian Dozier signed for 1 year, $9 million. I mean, that we don't know the exact, but it, you know, Lowry's AAV is $10 million. You know, hey, maybe DJ LeMahieu's market is dropping a little bit. Maybe, you know, I think there is some possibilities. I'm just a big believer in you need that bullpen because, you know, I think you need more than two guys. And while I do believe in Lugo, there is the chance, obviously, they use him in more of a multi-inning type role. So, I mean, I personally, I think you could have maybe spent a little bit more on the bullpen. But that's not to take anything away from Jed Lowry. He is a really good player, and you know this is a good move. I think there's not really much that you can knock on them for this move.
Matty, what's next for the Mets? Is it a right-handed hitting outfielder? It seems like they're cool with Broxton and Lagares. Is there a reliever out there that you like? What would your next move be if you were running this team?
At this point, I would be looking into trying to get another reliever. Like I said, I mean, they signed Luis Avalon today to be to a minor league deal, which is actually a really nice deal. I mean, he's not a sexy name, but he's a productive guy. I don't know if he's a dominant lefty, specialist. I would look into the bullpen. I don't know if it's possible, but if they can maybe get a guy like Justin Wilson, that would be a nice fit for them. And I would be continue to circle see what's available in center field. Indications are they don't have the money to spend to get AJ Pollock. I would just look. I understand how good Lagares is defensively. I just don't like the idea of trusting him every day in center field. And I think him and Broxton are kind of redundant with their skill sets. I would try and maybe find another infielder if you could. And also, I'd be on the lookout. I think they need rotation depth. I mean, you talked about Hector Santiago. You know, they brought him. They have Kyle Doughty, the Rule 5 guy. They just traded for Walter Lockett. But none of those names, when you hear them, really scream, hey, if somebody goes down, this guy can really give you 15 to 20 quality starts. So if I was them, and I'll say this, the one thing that's nice for the Mets is the way the market is moving, it's possible that maybe they can get somebody on the cheap, late in the winter. Now, I don't know if it could be somebody of like a Wade Miley, quality, but hey, maybe Gio Gonzalez just has nobody who wants to sign him. But, I still think they can shore up their depth a little bit more.
Matty, I know you're well connected. I know you're definitely keeping tabs on what's going on with the two big fishes, Machado, Harper. And it looks like the NL East has turned into this arms race from Donaldson to Corbin to Dozier to all the moves the Mets are making. So I'm going to set the over-under. I'm going to be an odds maker for you, Matty Holt. We have some fun here. 1.5 is the over-under. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. Will both of these guys end up in the NL East? Will one of these guys end up in the NL East, or will neither end up in the NL East?
As of today, I will take the over. I've thought Harper goes back to the Nationals all along. And at this point, I mean, it's hard not to think that Machado is going to find his way to Philly. I just don't see the White Sox. I just don't think a guy who was on a bad Baltimore team last year wants to be on a contender. I think your chances of winning are probably better with the Phillies. I think the Phillies also realize they have to give their offseason is a failure if they don't land one of the guys. And it just looks at this time, it just looks like the Yankees, for whatever reason, just aren't gonna invest. I mean, I personally think that's a mistake, but it just seems the Yankees are willing to let these two Hall of Fame players go without really making a play on them.
Matty, final one. National League East making moves. We know the Mets are better. At this point in time, how much better?
I think they're still just the third best team in the division. I think the only one I put them ahead of at the moment is the Phillies, Phillies could change. All they need to get is Machado. I really like the Nationals. I think they have a good roster. I also think they're going to bring Harper back. The Braves are the team to beat. They have the young talent. I think the Mets have done a nice job. I mean, the one thing to consider with the Mets here is, and this is maybe the one knock you could have, or I mean, there are other knocks, but if you're going to look at one thing you may say with Brody's offseason is, the Mets have invested in some older guys. I mean, if you look at it, Cano is 36, Lowry's going to be 35, Ramos is 31. They've invested in some older guys here. Now, they do have some better depth, but I'm just, with the Mets, I always look at it like prove it. I want to see it before I just give them. And I also think it's a good division. You know, I think that part of it is, I think it's a really good division at the moment, which, you know, after watching pretty crappy baseball in the NL East for a few years, it's actually going to be quite refreshing.
Well, you ain't kidding. Our good pal, Matt Ehall, to the record. Matty, before you head back down to Port St. Lucie, some beverages, my friend, will be in order. Maybe to watch those undefeated Orange men out of the ACC right now in conference play. We may have to set that up just for you.
Well, I mean, can they beat somebody before we go bragging they're undefeated here?
Listen, I'm enjoying it. I'm going to take it slow and steady, my man. Slow and steady. We'll chat soon, all right, Matty?
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff, Matt Ehall.